We are in the eighth lesson of our study of 2 Samuel, and for the second time, David is going to try to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, or to Mount Zion, I should say. And with everything right this time, David's plan will be successful. It included the correct preparation this time, which would result in the correct procession. Verse number 13 of chapter number 6. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. When they got the ark on the shoulders of these Kohath priests, they took just 6 paces for David to know that it was right. After the 6 paces, they made an offering and presented it to the Lord. The correct procession was met with the great joy from the king. And the compiler tells us that David was dancing all along, all the way, with all of his might. His clothing was not that of a king. It was the clothing of a servant, a linen ephod. Now, Ezra tells us a little more about David's clothing here. David was dressed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who carried the ark, and also the singers, and Kenaiah, the choir leader. David was also wearing a priestly garment, 1 Chronicles 15:27. So this base layer of the priestly garment is called a linen ephod. So that's what he's told us. Now, everybody wore a base layer, okay? It was simply a straight white garment, much like what we think about the robes we think about and contemplate when we make our arrival in our heavenly home with the Lord, our white robes that we're going to have. And I think it would be very much like that, and it was nothing special. It was constructed in the same design as most men wore in that day, and David surely wore something like this in his home and during the less official business that he would have to do. For David, the priest, and all the men, it was a kind of considered their underwear, for nothing was worn underneath this base linen ephod garment. But the garment of the priest was linen, as opposed to the ephod of others could have been other type of material. And also, this linen ephod was the base garment of the priest. So it is telling us in this that he is wearing that base garment of the priest. Now, on top of that, if you're a priest or whatever, or a king, you would elaborate additions to that to put on another coat or a cover or whatever. But they're all wearing these base garments. And for David, as king, to wear such garments and accessories, they would be added to set him off as king in a different way, okay? Well, but they're all wearing just this base linen this time. Other people were probably wearing linen, probably wearing ephods that were made out of other material, because linen was for the priest. Our compiler includes a note about David's wife, Michal, at this point. She did not have the correct perception of what was going on. Verse number 16. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Notice the compiler did not tell us that Michal was the wife of David. I think that is purposeful. Instead, he associated her with being the daughter of King Saul. This designation must have been purposeful to show that Michal had come to the same point as her father did concerning David. She despised him in her heart. No doubt she was incapable of enjoying the happiness of David when she saw him in his exuberant state as he marched with the ark and its arrival at Zion. We know from human nature that once someone despises someone, it is extremely difficult to change that attitude. Saul never really changed his attitude about David. Michal would never change her attitude either. Did Michal only love the brave hero, giant slayer king? Did she despise this dancing musician within him? Most likely she did. Before the first attempt to bring that ark to Zion, David had prepared a tent for it to rest within, and that tent was still waiting 3 months later. When the procession arrived at the tent, we find that it was the correct presentation, verse number 17. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. From Obed's house to the tent in Zion, the Lord was pleased. And at the tent, two offerings were completed. One was a burnt offering, and from the Lord's instruction back in Leviticus chapter 1 with a burnt offering, everything about the offering was burned. The hide was not actually burned on the altar. It was burned outside the city, but it was still burned, and everything else of the meat was burned. The parts of the animal were burned on the altar, and they provided this sweet aroma that went up to the Lord. The Lord also allowed in Leviticus for a peace offering. Now, a peace offering is a thank you offering. Thank you, Lord, for this. Peace offerings are not required. And the Lord, they were thanking the Lord for this great gift and this great blessing. In that offering, only the fat portions of the animal were offered on the altar. The hide was given to the priest, the high priest, the person that did the slaying as a payment. And the rest of the animal was cooked to be consumed by the priest, and in many other occasions, by the participants who brought the animal for the Thanksgiving offering. And in addition to the meal from the peace offering, every participant was given, get this, a cake of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins as they left the city to return home from that grand celebration and parade. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of cakes were given away that day. You know, one person did not participate in the celebration of the arrival of the ark in Zion. For this person, the correct penalization will be enacted. Verse 20, this is sad. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed in this and will be humbled in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. We've already discussed Michal's issue with David and his performance before the ark as it arrived in Zion. Here the writer tells us precisely what we already know. Michal was disgusted with David, removing the royal robe of the king and marching for miles just in the ephod, the linen ephod underwear, although it covered him completely. Nevertheless, she equated it with undressing before the servant maids with adulterous intent. But David would not hear of this. He invoked his position as the anointed successor to her father and boldly proclaimed that he had the right to celebrate before the Lord. He then makes an interesting statement that we must address. I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humbled in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. What does this mean? What does it mean when he says, more lightly esteemed? It means that David would always be ready to humble himself in his mind before the Lord to the lowliest of the lowly. He did not present him as a king to the Lord as king. He introduced himself as a lowly servant in the base garment that was the regular wear of the lowliest of humanity. Yet he knew that in the minds of the maidens Michal interjected into this argument, he was still the king of Israel and highly distinguished in their eyes. David had a healthy balance between his position with the Lord and the people. Michal did not. She would pay dearly for her thoughts. She would remain childless. This one point meant that she would never have the hope of a son born with the blood she inherited from her father, King Saul. And that son would never be king after David. Now the Lord, the giver of life, made sure of that detail. No heir of Saul would ever sit on the throne of Israel. After David's triumph of being the second king of the nation of Israel, with his declaration and his covenant with the people, followed by his eventual success in bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, David turned his attention to the temple of the kingdom. And so in chapter 7, we see David's plan to build a temple. Verse number 1. Now it came about when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell within the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you." But in the same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people of Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" Notice the Lord was happy allowing the Ark of the Covenant to travel in a tent and even that tabernacle. But he had not complained one bit. But what had gotten into the mind of King David that he thinks the Lord needs a permanent place to dwell? But in this passage, we must also notice three things. First, the Lord hears all the plans of man. He listens to the desires of David to build a temple. And you cannot hide your thoughts from the Lord. The Lord will respond to those on the wrong path, by the way. And David was on the wrong path, and the Lord let him know. And you better listen to the Lord when He speaks to you to direct your path in a different direction. The Lord will talk to you through a person sometimes in close contact with the Lord. And David was headed down on a path out of the will of the Lord. And the Lord used Nathan to speak into his life as David needed to be corrected with his itinerary and with his plans. But even with the Lord's redirection of David, we come to David's permission concerning the temple and what the Lord would allow David to do. Verse number 8. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be rulers over my people Israel. I have been with you everywhere you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. And I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may live in their own place, and not be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly. And even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people of Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete, you will lie down with your fathers. I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. And when he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. The Lord delivered to David three important points in that passage that we need to look at. First, David was the Lord's choice to be the king of Israel, drawn from the shepherd's field. Second, David's son will sit on the throne when it's time for David to step down. Third, David's son will build the temple. Now, we've read ahead in the Bible, and we know that the son's name is going to be Solomon. And in this passage, the Lord reveals to David that his son, who will take the throne, get this, will commit iniquities, will commit sins. And the Lord will correct him in time. And looking into the life of Solomon in the scriptures, the Lord was absolutely correct about Solomon. He made a mess of the kingdom and made a mess of his own life. But the Lord did correct Solomon, and by the end of his life, Solomon said in his own words, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Ecclesiastes 12:1. When Solomon said those words, it was at the end of his life. He wasted 40 years as king, searching for the kings of the world instead of searching for the things of the Lord. Once he realized his mistake, he wrote the words to warn the future generations to remember the Lord in their youth and not to waste their time with the evils of this world that only lead to heartache. The compiler of 1 Chronicles repeats this story with a little more detail, 1 Chronicles 17:1 through 15. When David was settled in his palace, he summoned Nathan and the prophet. Look, David said, I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of the Lord's covenant is out there under a tent. Nathan replied to David, Do whatever you have in mind, for God is with you. But that same night, God said to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in. I have never lived in a house. From the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day, my home has always been in a tent, moving from one place to another in a tabernacle. Yet no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's leaders, to the shepherds of my people. I have never asked them, why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house? Now go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all of your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone who has ever lived on the earth, and I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past, starting from the time that I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will defeat all your enemies. Furthermore, I declare that the Lord will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and join your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, one of your sons, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for me, and I will secure his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son, and I will never take my favor from him as I took it from the one who ruled before you. I will confirm him as king over my house and my kingdom for all time, and his throne will be secure forever. So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in this vision. Now, before we move on, we need to look at a line from each book and compare them. You see, in 2 Samuel 7:15, the Lord says, but my loving kindness shall not depart from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. But in 1 Chronicles 17:13, verse B says, I will never take my favor from him as I took it from the one who ruled before you. In both of these lines, the Lord is making a promise concerning Solomon that he will uphold in the future, even though Solomon will be so off track with the Lord that he does not deserve the kindness and favor of the Lord. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hands of your son. 1 Kings 11:11-12. The Lord keeps his promise. We can always be assured of that fact. By this time, David could not have understood the full ramifications of the message that Nathan has just delivered to him. But David did what David always did. He prayed. We come to David's prayer in verse number 18. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, O Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God. And again, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God, for the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people to make a name for himself and to do great things for you and awesome things for your land before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And may the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessings, may the house of your servant be blessed forever.